Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
What a treat.
Welcome to Nobody Panic, where we're going to be talking about, what's the exact wording of it, Tessa?
It's
how to cope when your friends move on. Is that what it is?
You'd be saying quite aggressively, so say it a bit nicer.
How to cope when your friends move on.
Yeah, it's about a time in your life when maybe your friends are getting married or people feel like they're moving on to different jobs than
That's
you, or they're
true.
Just moving at a different pace, or if
oh,
you live
all gone to university,
or they've gone to university and you haven't, or you know, think people have moved to a different school even, or even that you are used to live in a house that was full of friends and now all the friends have
and you're alone. Yes, we are.
If you constantly hear me referencing the housemate that left me, it's a very personal one for me, that everybody left me in the house. But also I hope it's a universal one, that everyone feels a point where people are moving at a different, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think we have the best person
in the world.
In the world, to talk about it, because I mean, I guess what I mean there is that you're the loneliest person, and all your friends have left you. But I don't mean that. Yeah. We've got Dolly Alderton in from the amazing podcast The High Low. So we're very excited.
High Low.
So Dolly's going to be giving us
not
some
only
sage
from
advice,
the High Low, but from her phenomenal book. Something, something, something.
Everything
love.
I know about love. Anyone about not that, not that, not that, not that love.
Yes. It's the Sunday Times bestseller and has been for the last year.
No,
I'm really
it
overselling
it. I really like that. Do you find that you do that with your podcast when you're selling it? Just round
it up? Of course,
up
we just say it's a million.
A few tens
a million,
of thousands.
10 million
yeah,
views.
Yeah, always.
100.
Yeah, it has been in the Sunday Times bestseller list for a year. That is correct, actually.
Yeah, and did it exactly top?
Exactly.
Number one?
Amazing. That's so great. It's
yeah,
such
number one. Yeah,
such a shame one. That it hasn't been that for longer.
I went to Dolly's book launch was at the Savoy. And
I was away and I didn't go, so I couldn't come.
Which is, that will never happen again.
No,
I don't
but
think that
it's,
was a one-off.
I don't think you ever really have your first book launch ever again, so
do it. But from
Own
then
it.
On it will be, from now on it will be, if I write any other books, it will be warm white wine in
the back
of
a pub.
Waterstone.
In a van.
In a van, in a car
in
park.
A car park.
But usually there were these diptyque candles that were lit. And as soon as I walked in, because I'm feral in my heart, I was like, those are coming home with me. And I had my eye on them the whole evening, just quietly out the corner of my eye. And then right at the end, I was like, this is what I'm going to do. Walk up, blow it out, walk with it, out the door, don't look back. Planned that, turned to say goodbye to you, look back, candle's gone.
Yeah.
Already stolen by somebody else.
Yeah. Do you know, that's what happens when you invite a load of fucking basic bitches.
Basic bitches.
To your book launch.
That's
every person
so
in there
funny.
Worked in media, or they were a PR, or they were a journalist, and they are all filthy little rotters, and there was not one diptyque candle left for me.
No, also you see a diptyque and everyone knows how much they are, so everyone's
exactly.
like, that's coming.
I actually don't. I just
can
know
you imagine
too much.
Diptyque is the one with the letters
oh, no,
spaced
exactly,
out like
yes.
an anagram.
I know exactly what they
understood,
are.
Understood, or a
but
puzzle.
I've never looked at how much
oh
they
my
are.
God, I really enjoyed that.
Are yeah. they £50?
Yeah.
That's so much for a candle.
It's so much for a candle. That's why you can never buy one. You
but
can
I immediately
steal them.
Want one
right?
because it's like,
exactly.
what's
Because then when you see them in
exactly.
someone's house, you're like, ooh.
Yeah. yeah.
Even though what we should all do is just buy one from Poundland and stick
a puzzle
it. Letters.
Yeah.
yeah.
A crossword on it.
Stick a crossword on. No one will know.
Or another different. Thing that you can do is to really eke out your sort of scant bit of luxury for your personal brand is have a diptyque candle, make it last for about 2 years until it goes black around the rim and then fill it up with hot water and washing up liquid, soak it and then use it as a toothbrush holder. Or
that's right. nice. To show that you once
sponge.
Had one.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And apparently this is what all
then
the
you
French
look like
beauty
a sort
editors
of,
do.
Yeah, but then you look like a sort of Prussian heiress who's fallen on hard times. And like,
which is great. That's,
yeah,
that's
that
look.
Very much your personal brand.
The aesthetic vibe of my entire flat. It's literally, there's one for like my dishcloths.
That's
excellent.
Disgusting.
I know,
excellent.
It's horrible.
What adult thing have you done this week, Tessa?
Well, I'm wearing a dress that doesn't fit, but it turns out if you just don't do the zip all the way up at the back and like turn it in,
okay,
and it looks fine, Stevie.
I think it looks fine. I wouldn't call that an adult thing, but I think we're gonna go with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great.
So I'm saying is,
so with don't a few do your dress up.
With a few safety pins and a bit of confidence, just style out whatever
that
you're
is
wearing.
That is, I think, 90% of adult wear.
I don't want to come in here and be contrarian and pick holes in the what did I do to be an adult segment.
Sure. Yeah.
I think that the more adult thing would be to accept that you need the size bigger.
That is true.
But I still think that what you did was like quasi-adult.
It
like,
was resourceful.
It was resourceful.
Right, bought it on ASOS. No other sizes.
Right.
Bought it anyway.
Yeah. Again,
and that's the first.
Is that adult?
No, none of these things are adult, but I'm working with.
It's so nice to have someone else.
I'm making bricks with straw here. Please, like, I'm doing my best, okay?
You are doing your best.
I've made several poor choices and then I styled
and then
out.
You made the best of it.
Yeah, I'm making the best of it. Yeah. All right.
That's good. That's good.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you.
Also, the reason I'm lashing out so much is I regularly buy dresses that are too small for me.
Yeah.
As a sort of hopeful omen.
This wasn't a hopeful. I was 100% sure it wasn't going to fit.
But now I'm glad because I've got all these dresses that don't fit, and I can try the old zip
down. Mm. Pull the things in so people don't say your zip is gaping. That's
and then
crucial.
It just looks like a lower back.
Lower back. Very and also clever. You need to unpick the label, which takes 2 seconds, because otherwise people are like, your label's out, and then people be like, your zip's undone, and then people try to keep helping.
It's just snowballing.
It's snowballing. And then everyone and people try
your boobs out.
Once a stranger tried to zip me in and I was like, it's not going to go.
Oh, wow.
You know?
It's so, and also so that's really tough when you live alone, because I often will be like on my way to an event and I'll get an Uber instead of getting the tube, so I can knock on the driver's window and say, hello, would you mind just doing me up?
Oh my God, see, Prussian heiress who's fallen on hard times. Oh darling, take me in, won't you dress me?
But often it means they can't get it up, and the worst is when a stranger is like, I don't think this is gonna
yeah the worst thing ever is when your Uber driver can't get it up. Oh my God.
Try
right.
living on your own and then come back to
I mean,
right,
that's,
Stevie.
That's the most adult thing that that's more adult than anything we've ever done combined, getting an Uber because you can't get your dress up. So yeah. You've already nailed it.
Because already inherent in that has implied
like
that you're
child.
Going somewhere wonderful.
Yeah, definitely. And even if you're not, that's even more adult to get an
yeah,
Uber.
Yeah, just take an Uber around the block and back again.
Like my adult thing a few weeks ago was I bought a tin for my earrings. Like that's the level.
Oh,
that
I think that's super adult, actually.
Thank you. Actually, everyone laughed.
No, I think that's really
but yeah,
adult.
Thank you.
Yeah,
I
what is yours this week? Oh, sorry.
No,
please.
Sorry.
It's fine.
It's very much about you. So
on.
Carry on.
I think the most adult thing that you can do is spend money on stuff that you're going to benefit from every single day.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
I think I had never anticipated how much of a sense of calm and happiness it would bring me to, like, have a Hoover that works.
Yeah, right, rather than works. The one that was already
like,
there that you're
yeah.
like...
Oh, or have, shit, like, yeah. a basket with some face flannels in. And the whole thing would have cost, like, £2.
Yeah.
But it makes me feel so capable and responsible and, like, maybe I can look after myself.
Yeah, yes. The discovery that things that you thought were really boring...
Yeah.
We have, like, a basket for our loo roll, and it's like, I've never had a basket for my loo roll. Obviously, it's just the Andrex has just been put next to the
toilet. Yeah, exactly.
And that was, like, a basket, and I just want everyone to piss whenever they come into my house. Like... Just go, use it, because I just feel like
that's
I'm
a real adult
a
marker. Where is your toilet roll? Is it in or on a holder, in a basket, or is it just on the toilet?
On the it was on the toilet for me for years.
Yes.
Yeah,
because it's easy.
But
it's
you
easy.
Just, I think we really reject all of those things, like having a basket or nice tea towels or something.
You think you have to get an expensive thing, and you just
or
don't.
Also because you're like boring.
Yeah. Yes, you know? I spend that on shots. Am I right?
Yeah, right. It's like, you know, Mr. Potato at the beginning of Toy Story, where someone has brought sheets when they're listening to the birthday gift. And then Mr. Potato Head is like, who invited this kid?
It's like,
so all your life you're like, okay, no sheets. It's best to sleep on the nude mattress than to like buy a sheet because Mr. Potato Head thinks it's not cool. So
still, if someone bought me sheets for my birthday, I wouldn't enjoy that.
Oh, I would now, you, I think.
If they were really glam and nice.
Glam,
I think.
Egyptian cotton, 200 thread count.
For your birthday, Christmas. I've calculated
read you.
The sort of thing that you'd like. I've bought you sheets.
Yeah.
If my mum bought them for me or something for Christmas, lovely.
In amongst the other gifts. They
yes,
can't be
yes.
The, yeah.
What if everyone bought you sheets? Do you know what I mean?
You know what I mean? What's
you know
yours?
What I, mean? I feel like I've said that I bought a basket for loo roll, but
oh, yes,
I
you did.
This
sorry,
week
yeah.
was I did a, I went to a party, and it was a very organised, fun party, which was actually really nice. It was like fun. Everyone there is a musical theatre actor. And
sounds
really,
like hell.
Yeah. I genuinely was terrified about going. And actually, when I got there, I was like, oh, these are actually, oh, they're nice people. And like really fun, lots of chatting. But we played a game, and part of the game was that you had to, like, you got a, I got Taylor Swift out of a hat, and you had to perform so that people would know who it was. And I, as somebody who performs regularly, I can't do it. I don't like being funny in social situations. Yeah. I don't like being like a music or like just, it was instant sweat. Like, yeah, it was literally like this, Stevie, you next. I was like,
and then drowning.
I was like, I'm just going to pretend that I like this. So I like pretended it, went in really confidently with, oh, look what you made me do. Look what you made, the Taylor Swift song, the famous song. Just like, just, no,
you've so what do you do in this game? You just
sing a song by the person.
It's quite an easy game, isn't it?
It is, but there's loads of people staring at you and you have
to sing this song. What a horrible game.
The one before
game,
me did like a... Stephen Sondheim and performed it so beautifully that everyone essentially cried.
Oh, God.
And so then I had to be like, cool, I've got Taylor Swift, did it, and sat down and didn't go, I just did anything, or cry.
That's so fantastic.
That's really adult, actually.
Yeah. Thank you. Oh, great.
That's so wonderful.
I'm getting really hot talking about it.
Well done. You did so well, because I wouldn't mind that game because... I can't sing at all, and that everybody knows that, and so therefore I can confidently hide behind not having to try.
Yes.
Whereas if you can sing and you you know, then you,
as everyone knows,
as
I
everyone
have
knows,
a beautiful
really
voice.
Exquisite voice, Stevie. Then it becomes, you know, then
yes.
It's just
if
horrible,
you're also
weird...
if you're a performer in any sense, or if you're known for being amusing and witty, or you're known, like, I imagine you must have a lot of situations where you kind of feel like you have to act a specific way. And if you don't want to, it's like, oh, great. Now
I think it's just, it's the organised fun thing. I just hate games. Anyone in a social situation, anyone clicking their fingers and being, now everyone has to be entertaining. It makes me feel actually quite angry. I went to my friend that does like immersive theatre.
Oh, God.
The best.
I took my friend Sabrina and she was like, can we be sweary on this?
Yes.
We went in and it was my friend's amazing theatre company, and she does immersive theatre better than anyone. I just have this like quite visceral reaction to being like told I have to play along with something. And this actor came up to me and everyone was like really getting into the fun, and they were pretending that we were at this like life school of life. And this man came up to me and was like, hello, how long have you been signed up for the Academy? And Sabrina said, you were acting just like an absolute cunt. She was like, I've never seen you behave like that. She said, I just turned so rude. She was like, you were so self-conscious and you felt like people were taking the piss out of you. Mm. And you obviously felt so vulnerable. She's like, I've never seen you have such a sense of humour failure. And she was like, it was actually quite uncomfortable to witness.
God.
And I was like that the whole evening. And I just couldn't. It's obviously something to do with self-esteem, that I didn't feel confident enough that I could just like be present and go along with the fun that someone else has orchestrated. Yeah. I can't have fun unless I've like been
part of orchestrating
the fun. That is bad, isn't it?
So,
what's Dolly's adult thing?
Oh,
mine's very boring and simple.
I thought you'd already done one, so I'm so sorry.
No, sorry. Mine's very boring and simple. I have a script deadline today, so I put my phone on airplane mode.
Oh, that's great.
This morning in a separate room.
Fantastic.
That's fantastic. That's really great.
That's basically the only way that I can write now.
Yeah, I can imagine that.
Oh, God.
And then I reward myself if I do well. Every hour I'm allowed to go on Twitter for 5 minutes and then I come back off again. I mean, it's a problem. It's bad.
That's wonderful, though.
That is great.
Well done.
Took that step.
Yeah. That's really good.
Thank you.
You've got a reward system in.
I need a reward system for my procrastination.
You removed things from yourself.
Yeah.
What a star.
Thank you.
Well done, you.
Thanks, babe.
How to cope when your friends move on? Any thoughts, anybody?
I've got nothing. No. So this is born of me and Dolly got to hang out on the train coming back from somewhere.
What a great hangout location.
God, such
a
great
hangout.
Mad day. We had a mad day. We went to an International Women's Day talk, and then we went back on the train and a lovely girl called Zoe, and who I just met, and we were all really discussing the housing situation and who people live with. And Dolly had, so sorry Dolly, I just hit her and
just punched her.
Dolly's down, everyone, so that's the end from her. Dolly just moved in with herself, and
that's what I call it.
Yeah. And we were just discussing what it's like when someone that you've lived with for a long time, that you've been like, well, this is, we are each other's person, we are the pals, we are, you know, then gets a, you know, a boyfriend or a girlfriend or a partner, and you don't become, you're not their person anymore.
Yeah. And you and I both had the last sugar babe standing thing.
Yes. So we had both, we have both been in a house in which it was all friends, then one by one they all left.
And so
then
depressing saying it.
They went, like, they moved in with boyfriends, or they moved abroad for work, or they went on to do, like, fantastic things. I was so excited and happy for them, but then they were individually replaced by people off the internet until it was no longer the same house. Like the Sugar Babes. And then I was the last of the Sugar Babes.
And then you keep trying to, like, recreate those initial...
Yeah, the fun things that you did. Because, like, the house is still the same. Yeah. I still live in this bedroom, but nothing is the same here anymore.
And I suppose, like, arranging things like, oh, let's all go for, like, a big dinner together. It's great, but it just reminds you of what you don't have anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. But even if, like, I mean, Tess had it much... You had it harder than I did because you had people coming in from the internet. I still had very close friends of mine coming in. But it is different. It is. And also... I felt like when I was with them, those first two flatmates before they left me.
Yes.
To go live their lives.
Let's use a more positive term. Let's say passed away.
They passed to the other side.
Before they died in my head. No, which is, and now, you know, I found it really difficult at the time because I'm a control freak, and I think I was so young, you know. We moved in together when we were 24. Then before my 25th birthday, my best friend Farley was out.
Oh, wow.
You know, so it was really tough. So, because in my head, I was like, there's going to be these London years that we have together, which is incredibly, now I look back, arrogant of me that I can feel like I can, you know, write a joint narrative that, for both of us that suits me.
Yes. That's self-aware of you.
But that's what a lot of it was. A lot of it was no, 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 no. This is not the story I've decided for our 20s. Mm-hmm. And I think, that was
How did you cope when Farley left? Like, what did you... Obviously, you were very sad. Mm. But what were there any things that you did that you feel helped you in any way that would help someone listening?
I just took it so badly.
Right.
So I think I just behaved really badly. Sure. Also, Farley said to this day, one of her biggest regrets is she knew how upset I was by it. And she knew that I was really devastated. Mm. And she's been like my best friend since we were like 11, and we went to university together. We were completely inseparable. We'd never really had a year apart from each other. So I was a big shock. And she moved out on my 25th birthday.
Oh, wow. Oh,
which she since has said, what the fuck was I thinking when I knew you were having this total breakdown? I just didn't really cope with Folly at all.
Right.
And I think I behaved quite badly.
This.
Like, I remember not really helping her move out. Like, physically, I remember, like making a choice to be quite absent, I think. I think I was really bratty. I think I was bratty and hurt, and I felt quite humiliated. So I'm quite embarrassed about how I handled that. It just made it all about me.
Of course, right.
And I got really drunk at her housewarming party with her new boyfriend, and I think I sort of slagged them off to everyone on the patio.
I get, well, this is like a what not to do, so it's still advice.
It's really hard not to just embrace that total brat behaviour.
Like, it's a suicide bomber, basically, when you feel like that.
Yeah, because she knows, like, your friends are like, oh gosh, how's Dolly going to be? Oh gosh, you're leaving Tess. And so once people have set up that space for you to throw a tantrum and
totally,
to be upset, you
totally.
Just own it so hard, and then it's easy. It's so much easier rather than being like, gosh, I'm actually quite sad and scared, and here are my real emotions.
Yeah,
it's so much easier to be like, I hate them.
Exactly.
I hate everyone, and like, you know, and to, you know, I repeatedly referred to my housemate leaving me as the divorce, and constantly told people that he took the printer. And
that's what I did. You make it into this like joke that's not a joke
thing,
at all.
You know, and you know, I think it's because people have let, you know, people know, so they're like, you know, you have your space here, and then you behave dreadfully.
Well, it's a breakup. And
yeah,
I think people don't think about it like that because it's a friend. So they're like, well, it's just a friend. You can see her all the time. And you're like, no, it's not the same.
No, and it never has been the same. And Farley will say that. And I think that's like something that I think that I had the foresight of knowing this magical thing that we've been doing. You know, we live together at uni. This is now finished. This is over. And we're still just as close. But I'm sure you have it with your ex-flatmates. It is this magical time when you live together, and it is so ephemeral. And I think I always knew that it gave us this intimacy in our friendship group that once it was done, it was done. And something that my friends always used to say. The second time it happened to me with AJ, it only happened less than a year, like 6 months later.
Oh, God.
And she was moving in with her boyfriend as well. And I was much more vulnerable that time. And I just begged her to stay. I was like, I said, I'll pay for half your rent.
Oh, God.
I said, if this is money, sell my body. I said, I don't need to go out as much. Like, I will pay. I was so desperate for her to stay.
Yeah.
And I think as well, at that point, it was less about her. It was more about me feeling like, as everyone was moving on and I wasn't, and I needed to like control the situation somehow, which is phenomenally self-obsessed. But I was much better with her. I was just more vulnerable, mm-hmm. as you said. But because it became this like in-joke that I would like have these complete breakdowns when these women moved
Aww.
On, that like my friends started saying these phrases that I find so funny, where AJ, I remember saying, well, look, I'll move in with Stephen and like probably live together for a year and like maybe move back in here after a year.
So, yeah. Like, no, you won't.
That will never, you never hear of that happening. That literally never happens.
No. Yeah. Friends have had to repeatedly say, well, we've got a room for Tessa, like in their house.
Yeah.
Like when Joey and Joe, they have to make a room for Joey at Chandler and Monica's house.
It doesn't make you feel better. It makes you feel like a weird, odd clown who's been brought in.
It's such a thing. Like Joey is like, this is our life, Joey and Chandler made together. And because one person has chosen to leave it, the life now ceases to exist.
Exactly.
And the other person,
you can't continue it in an imagined sphere or on one side.
It can't be like, but we'll see each other all the time, or I'll always be around. Like, you just, like, those things won't happen.
Yeah.
And it's such a hard thing when, especially because for the person who is moving on, for them it's this exciting huge next step.
Exactly.
And you want to be excited and happy for them, but you can't ever get away from the fact that they've left you on the step now.
Yeah.
That you know,
it's literally how a child would react.
Yes,
because it is like a child being female.
But we are all children with these things. Like as in, you'd never had that experience before. So how could you act like an adult? Like, you didn't know what that would feel like. And so then, of course, you would act like that. I suppose, like, did it get easier with him, with every friend that left you?
Yeah, by the time it got to easy, India,
you're like, bye.
By the time it got to the third one, she was so nervous about telling me. And then she burst into tears as she told me.
God.
And I was like, well, you must have been so scared of me. And actually, by that point, I was just at a much better place in my life and I was much happier. Also, at that point, I realised, I think everyone has a moment in their 20s. I don't know if you guys have had this, where I realised that, like, everything is supposed to change.
Yeah.
I think up until then, I thought if things were changing, then it meant I was doing things wrong, or I had to be sad and nostalgic, or things were slipping through my fingers. But so many huge and dramatic and unexpected things happened in my friendship group in the last 5 years, that you just get to a point of like semi-surrendering. And actually, I think true peace and happiness in life is when you can just realise that there's basically nothing you can do to control anything.
No, yeah.
And I think I got nearer that point, and I was just like, well,
of
what
course.
Can I do? Yeah. Roll with the punches, life. This is what happened.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
And that is a hugely adult thing to have to get on board with life, because that's, you know, like, as a child, it is like, here's all the things I've ever known and you're taking them away from me.
Exactly.
And it's screaming like, no, I'm not ready to, I don't want my, you know, even at school, I remember my like best friend went to moved to a different school in sixth form, and you, no matter how much there's like, we'll visit and we'll do this and all these things, that you're like, it's never, this is done now. And that is a huge thing to make peace with at any point, to be like, well, this is done now. You know, you obviously have to sort of hold on to this. Okay, it'll be fine.
I've just realized, you know, like when I've mentioned this podcast and when like I was introducing it, then I'm like, I don't really have any experience with this. And as you said that, I was like, I think I now know why. When I was like in primary school, my first ever friend, Claire, it was like that thing where you buy best friend necklaces and you're like, this is my best friend. And we were best friends. And that I was like announced. It was known. It was official.
Yeah. It becomes part of your identity at that age.
I'm surprised there wasn't like documentation or something. Well, it sort of was the best friend necklace. I still have it, I think. And when also like boys wasn't really a thing for me at all at primary school and also really secondary school. So like,
Or now.
No, the point of me saying that is because I put all of my like eggs in one woman. Which, and we were very young, and then when we made the transition from primary school to high school, it was a very horrible transition because I went from like being friends with everyone and having my best friend to being like quite badly bullied, and my friend said she didn't want to be my friend anymore and we never spoke again. I was completely like devastated. Like I've forgotten this completely. I've blocked it out of my memory.
How have you blocked this out?
I don't know,
dude. You need therapy. That would be session one,
right? Because I like learnt that so young. I think from then on I've never had like a close friendship group of girls because I've been like, well, you know, it's not going to last or whatever. Which I think it's kind of healthy, but it's kind of sad. Like,
as
I do have lots of lovely friends, but it's, I don't ever ask too much. Like, if they wanted
to wear the necklace again,
I don't want a necklace. Yeah, like when my best friend at uni moved to Abu Dhabi, I was like, oh god, but it was cool. Like, we like still emailed and I still see her and it's fun. But it's different now, and we've like grown apart somewhat. But I'm able to accept that because I had like a horrible time when I was so young with it.
Well, it's probably given you more perspective.
Possibly. I'm very wise now. No, it probably did completely harm me and made me.
I mean, that is so detrimental to go through that.
Yes. Yes, I feel like maybe I shouldn't have said it.
No.
But I just wanted to say, like, if anyone listening has had that.
Everybody has, you know, been.
Everyone has one of those stories.
And you don't realise the impact that it has and how much you know, that you don't then commit in the future and you don't, you know.
It's literally like love.
It's like love, isn't it? When you get, you never ever fall
Which
as hard.
Which is your book. That's what it's all. I mean, that's why the bits with your friends made me more emotional than the bits.
That's
with
why.
The guy.
Yeah, those are the pieces for sure that like they resonated so hard with me about female friendship and, you know, how we treat each other, and, you know, that like when you're broken up with, you the first time you're dumped, like you never fall as hard ever again in the future because you're ready for it and you know that you've recovered from this once and like you will get through it. And then the first time you're like, well, I think I'm Miss Havisham now, like there's no other possible solution for me here. Like this feeling is never going away.
That and treating it, so if it does happen, being ready for it and being like, this is going to feel like a breakup. And breakup, if you've had a breakup before, you'll know what that feels like.
Yeah,
but you may not have you may not be expecting it to come from a friend situation.
Yeah.
So it might completely blindside you.
Yeah, but because they aren't the people that are supposed to dump you, and they aren't, it's never this, you know. It's so often, you know, sometimes it's this horrifying, like, I'm choosing to move on here. And sometimes it's this, like, oh, I've been promoted at work, or I'm having this, or I'm moving in with my boyfriend, or I'm doing these things that should be this time of celebration. And yet you're like, I can't celebrate because I'm being dumped in this process. Yeah. Like,
do you know what? I think that's another big thing that's really important is just, like, shedding that sense, that narcissism that I had for so long, where it was just, they were all like parts in my film, and they were like, they had not learnt the lines for the script.
Yeah.
Like, I was livid with them. And actually, I think realizing that it's just nothing to do with you. And if you're feeling that level of despair, or that someone being at the same level as you, be that in the workplace or in your flat or, you know, circumstantial place, if you feel like them being in a different place will make everything crumble, then it means you're like really unhappy.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
It's nothing.
Yeah, absolutely. I was going to say, I think there's probably a real correlation between how you react when a friend moves on and how your life is at that moment.
Absolutely. That's exactly what it was for me. Yeah.
Because you feel like, well, you've made all these leaps and bounds, and I am actually left here, and I'm not good at life, and I'm like,
And then their decision somehow feels like an aggressive mocking of your life, which is nothing to do with you. So you're like, I'm really angry that you're falling in love, because that means that, like, what does that say about me and my decisions? Yeah. And it's just nothing to do with you.
No. Absolutely. And I think it's so much a part and parcel of who you are as a person. Like, you know, when you are struggling at work, or you aren't, don't feel your career's going somewhere, and something good happens to somebody, if your instant reaction is my hands are cramping as a response, but like that's
instant reaction is to cramp.
Yeah, like a claw hand. Yeah. It's like, this fury and this jealousy and all of those things. Then that is on 100% on you and where you're at. But if your reaction is this, like, oh my goodness, yay, which it should be for everything. Mm. And it's not like, oh, I wish I was a better person, I wish I could say yay. Mm. If you are feeling happy and good and okay, yay will be your reaction. Mm. It will be your, and people wanting to move in with their boyfriend and everything, yay will be your response for them.
Yeah. I also don't think at all that it's bad to react like you did. You've said quite a few times, like, you know, I was awful. I think you just, you know, like, we have to accept the way that we react, and reacted for a reason.
Yes,
and
exactly.
It wasn't your fault. Like, you didn't mean to not be. I think if you are going through that, oh, I've snapped and I've lashed out, and to look at it in an objective way and to be like, okay, so why have I done
that? Take responsibility.
What is it?
Yeah,
not exactly. Like, oh, I'm a shithead. Just like, okay, why have I acted like a shithead? There has to be a reason. And then there will be, then that's like a proactive way to, and then you can start looking at yourself.
Yeah.
What to do?
Absolutely.
That's it. When you get to a point where you feel like everyone is on, there's this Auden line that I use all the time now when I'm talking about being a psycho with my friends in my 20s. In an Auden poem, I think it's an Auden poem, yes, he said, arm in arm but never in step, to describe love. And I think that if you can find peace on your own path in life and feel peace and happiness for your friends on their wildly different paths, you can accept that you're all on these kind of different journeys and you're not in tandem, but you can still walk very closely with each other.
Yeah, that's a lovely way of putting it.
Thank you.
You'd look mad if you were arm in arm and your feet were somewhere else. That's all I can think.
Never in step.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's lovely.
That's really lovely.
It's nice, isn't it?
I think.
You can take that for your wedding. I thought it'd be good for a wedding speech.
Thank you.
Great.
In the bank it goes.
That's great.
Straight in. I did a real Asda.
You've got a boyfriend as well. You can take it for your wedding speech.
Right. You're handing it out so aggressively.
I don't want it,
I'm fine, guys, about not getting married.
Have that for your bloody wedding out, why don't you?
You have it. I'll never use it.
Yeah.
And I'm super happy for you guys.
Goodness.
That you've moved on.
We never speak again.
Goodness sakes.
So funny.
I think so much of growing up is realizing those things of like when that everybody is writing a different book and you're on a different chapter, and you know, the race is long, and in the end it was only with yourself.
Every episode one of us quotes Baz Luhrmann.
It's because he's the greatest.
It's the greatest song ever.
The greatest song of all time. Yeah, that, you know, accepting that you are all just on a different path, and don't, you know, the end of the day today is not the end of the game. Like, you know, we're all just doing this in a different pace, and when you look back on your life, it will all make a perfect path. It will all have made sense, all the choices and all the things that you did. Very calmly making a peace with that, which is such a hard thing to do.
Did you find anything from your experiences with your friends moving out? Have you found anything, what not to do or like what to do?
My one piece of advice is like just to not believe that I always return to me crying on the school bus on the first day of year 7 because I was sat next to a girl I didn't like, because we were alphabetically the same. Sorry. Even though she was perfectly nice. And suddenly I just like didn't like the idea of that, like, this was my only option for the next 7 years. I cried. Funny, yeah. And then after a week, the alphabetical system had obviously collapsed, as if like they would make sixth formers sit in alphabetical order. Like
the whole year.
The whole year. And so some, but happens to,
I would have freaked out.
Yeah, I just, you know, you have this real reaction of like, well, this is it now. That's that. And, you know, it's really hard to. So always I remember like that felt so real to me then. And all these things that feel like, well, this is it forever now. You know, if you're having a bad time at work or in a relationship, or you're, you know, you're like, well, I can't see any way out of this. They will change. And of course, those things will move on. And it's just about accepting that. And, you know, the good, you just have to be like, this thing that we've made together, it's not that you've ruined it by leaving or whatever. It's that this just was at its end because one party is going, and that is totally okay. Like, you can't both
friendship
be here.
Friendship is so much more phase-based and cyclical than
moon.
Anyone tells you. Like, you're always told, like, a friend's forever. And, like, in the films, it's always like, oh, we grew up together and it's exactly the same.
Yeah. It's not like that.
It cycles, and this is just the waning of this moon.
And that was its lifespan.
And this is its lifespan. Yeah. And I remember somebody crying about about a boy once and saying, but he was perfect. And my friend looking at her and being like, well, he wasn't because he didn't fancy
you.
Yeah,
exactly.
So like, exactly. Thing about, yeah. We had this thing, like we is the crucial word there. We had this thing
we have to
both be part of this. And just because, exactly what you're saying, of like, my friends hadn't learned their lines in my story. It's like, I hadn't learned my lines in their story. Like, what do they need from me in this friendship?
Mm. And in like a positive way, I found that when... You know, there's been a few friends that I've had that I was very close to who have just, we've just drifted apart, mm-hmm. and it's natural, and that's, it's often geography based. I found very recently, like, I've gained two more friends from a part of my life I didn't really think about. And it's so nice to have, like, got such a different relationship with them than I have with anybody else. We're not going to have the history, but we do have, like, a really close friendship. And it's, just as friends are kind of going, all other friends arrive.
Yeah,
and it's
absolutely.
Like, it's not always as negative as it feels, even though it when it happens, it does feel incredibly negative.
Yeah, and the good ones like will just be there forever, but in just different ways.
Exactly.
Different ways and means, just because they don't live in the downstairs bedroom anymore.
Yeah, which was weird. It was weird when you kept me in your basement.
Yeah,
I didn't know where you're going with live in your.
Sorry, just because
it's really not shed.
It was nice when you're someone's below me and you can just like bang on the floor and, you know, that's shout nice. For breakfast.
Yeah.
See, very demanding, like a, difficult housemate.
You sound like a great flatmate. I don't know why anyone
Joey
left.
Over here. Why would anyone leave me? The good ones will be there and you don't let it become all consuming and it gets better. And also it's not like as bad, anything like as bad as you think it is.
Yeah. Once you've got out of the bad bit.
Yeah. It's
the initial emotion. But yeah, I feel like that was actually quite positive and quite uplifting.
I feel like that was therapy.
Yeah,
we got a bit ropey in the middle, and I started sharing and I wanted to.
I think
to put
everyone's
the words
got to share.
Back.
But also, I mean,
no,
I think
that was good.
It was
really
good. It was so important.
That. Yeah.
Thanks, everyone.
But really also, good. I think that everyone has a degree of an experience. That's really extreme.
Tessa just put her finger on my finger.
That's
to
the
say,
amount of support I'm prepared to offer. I couldn't reach her. She's quite far away.
And I'm very sweaty.
She's so sweaty.
There's no air in this room.
I could have stayed talking in here for
hours.
Me too.
So thank you very much for Dolly for
thank
coming
so
on.
Much
thank
for
you for having us.
Am I right in saying your Twitter is like at Dolly Alderton?
Yeah.
Yeah, isn't it? And Instagram's the same, isn't it?
You sure don't have any cover.
Why not?
Absolutely. Yeah.
The book is out now, Everything I Know About Love.
Yes.
Top of the New York Times.
top of the actual pop charts as well, which actually were discontinued
the
in
amazing,
2005.
So. The amazing.
Which is insane.
That's what I call Music 96. That was, of course, Dolly's big...
That's Dolly's big number.
Music one.
You can see me on Top of the Pops perform Everything I Know About Love this Friday.
Oh, right.
God, that's
I wish.
A joke for all the millennials out there.
Yeah. I wish. Podcast, The High Low.
Yeah,
which is the Pandora Size.
Fave, absolute great podcast.
Can I reciprocate this praise quickly?
Oh, yeah, if you like.
I'm just obsessed with both of you.
That's so kind. But you can't really tell our listeners because they've made it this far through this episode. So... They know, whereas we can at least send them to your work.
This is true.
Yeah, actually, I don't need to advertise.
You don't need to advertise.
They're very much here. They've made it.
I'm
here.
Just giving you a testimonial that I
thank
just,
you.
I think you're two of the most brilliant and funny women.
That's so kind. It's too much
right
in
back
here.
At you.
When I met Tess, it was like so intense that my writing partner Lauren got quite jealous.
Right, it's up. Whereas I left on an absolute high because I found a new pal. I remember us actively saying to each other, "We need to keep a cap on this, and we must only see each
otherwise
other.
We'll end up getting off with each
we
other
need
immediately."
To see each other only briefly.
It was closer to that.
Yeah.
And it was right before Christmas as well. And that's when all bets are off with me with the snogging.
Also, we had this wonderful discussion about how Dolly's like fantasy involves people saying, "Oh God, she's so beautiful and humble." Which made me laugh.
Oh,
which just spoke to a real deep truth in me. And that really
so
made me
great.
Laugh.
Yeah.
That's so they're all just like floored by how down to earth I am.
She's such a good girl. And I think there's nothing that unites people more than having like a deep secret out loud to you by somebody else. And everyone being like, and we were like this. Yes.
Yes.
And a black hole appeared.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We popped in. Right.
Yeah, tweet us at NobodyPanicPod. Email us NobodyPanicPodcast@gmail.com. It's not rolling off the old tongue.
NobodyPanicPodcast@gmail.com.
Perfect. Or tweet me at Stevie M. The S is a 5.
At Tessa Coates. At Dolly Alderton.
At Dolly Alderton. Have a lovely week, guys. And stay in there. Stay in there. Keep hanging. Give your friends a hug. And it's okay. Time.
Yeah, time will heal everything. You're going to be A-OK.
See you next week, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's stamps.com, code program.
Hi, I'm Lucy Beaumont.
And guess what? I'm Sam Campbell.
If you've enjoyed this podcast, you might enjoy our podcast. It's called Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains.
We have a podcast and it might be, I probably don't want to sound, like I'm bragging, but it's dynamite. It is electric. It's high voltage. And please, we really need you to listen. You don't understand how much we need this.
Is it on all the platforms?
Oh, it absolutely is. But this one's out now. Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains.